Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Leftovers. Or.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba.
The DMV.
Number 97.
Or.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba.
House cleaning. Or.
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Voja Medic. He is the co-host of the Nugget Serbia podcast, which airs exclusively on YouTube and serves as an occasional contributor for the Serbian Corner podcast, which is aired exclusively on the DNVR Sports YouTube channel. On the program, we discuss the Denver Nuggets Western Conference Finals run. Also, we talk about Denver Nuggets home games at the Ball Arena. Also, we discuss Nikola Jokic. We also talk about Nikola as well as Voja's homeland of Serbia and so much more. Voja is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
If you need to know the law to advance your career in the world of risk management, but you aren't a lawyer, we can help. At Texas A&M School of Law, our Master of Legal Studies in Risk Management is designed to help non-lawyers like you navigate the complex legal and compliance issues involved in fiduciary management, corporate governance, and other heavily regulated industries. Gain the legal skills you need to advance your career from one of the most respected law schools in the nation. Visit law.tamu.edu/MLS to learn more.
The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6-liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
Leftovers. Or.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba.
The DMV.
Number 97.
Or.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba.
House cleaning. Or.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba.
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes.
Chumba.
ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Leftovers. Or.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba.
The DMV.
Number 97.
Or.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba.
House cleaning.
Or.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba.
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes.
Chumba.
ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Leftovers. or the DMV,
number 97,
or house cleaning, or
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Reed's holding. James comes out of the pack. James on the drive. Goes inside. Stop. Shot blocked. Gets it back. It's over. It's over. Denver makes history. The Nuggets are going to the NBA Finals for the first time in franchise history. What a crushing finish for the Lakers as the Denver Nuggets sit atop the West. Here in 2023, they're the new kings of the West.
Here to accept the Oscar Robertson Western Conference Champions Trophy on behalf of the Denver Nuggets, head coach Michael Malone.
Well, first off, you have to give a lot of credit and respect to the Lakers, Darvin Ham, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. They gave us a hell of a challenge today, but the guys behind me, they believe since training camp, they believe coming into tonight. We have a special group, and as you've heard all series long, Lisa, we're not satisfied. Love this group. Let's go, Nugget Nation! I think for me, the most satisfying part about the journey is who I'm on the journey with. I have a tremendous coaching staff. I have a tremendous front office, great ownership, and the 17 players behind me who came to work every day, checked their egos at the door for something much bigger than themselves. We have great players, we have tremendous depth, and we have a lot of character on this team, and I love each and every one of our players.
The Western Conference Finals Most Valuable Player Trophy is aptly named after one of the greatest guards in NBA history, Irvin Magic Johnson. The 2023 Irvin Magic Johnson Western Conference Finals Most Valuable Player Award goes to Nikola Jokic.
For me, to be honest, nothing. So this trophy is supposed to go to my teammates and coaches. They put me in a situation that I'm just first among the equals, and I'm just happy that we are collectively getting wins and getting to make something. I mean, probably to say hello to my parents, my bad. I mean, it's a collective effort, for real. It's from the Sparky, Gino, who is our equipment manager, to family Kroenke. I think it's a one collective effort that we are growing as a team, as a franchise. I think it's really nice to be a Nuggets fan.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Basketball Association, the NBA, ESPN, and the Walt Disney Company. That was the Denver Nuggets handling their business, sweeping the Los Angeles Lakers in the 2023 Western Conference Finals. You heard from head coach Michael Malone being presented with the Western Conference Finals trophy, and that was Lisa Salters from ABC and ESPN, and then you heard the Magic Johnson Western Conference Finals MVP award winner, the Joker, Nikola Jokic, just giving some gracious words, thanking his parents, his teammates, the organization, the Denver Nuggets, and so much more. To talk more about the Denver Nuggets Western Conference Finals run, also talk about one of Serbia's favorite sons, Nikola Jokic. Let's welcome him to the program. He is the co-host of the Nuggets Serbia podcast. It gives you anything and everything that you need to know about the Denver Nuggets from a Serbian perspective. Let's welcome him to the program, Voja Medic. Now, Voja, I'm not fluent in Serbian, but I want to tell you this, sir. Dobrodošli u program.
Oh, this is great. Great job. Thank you. Thank you for welcoming me to the show. That was a great pronunciation, though, too.
Thank you so much, sir, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. We're going to talk more about the Denver Nuggets Western Conference Finals run in just a moment, but I want to start off with talking about another Nugget, another number 15 before Jokic, Carmelo Anthony. He announced his retirement after 19 seasons in the NBA. Give me your thoughts on Melo and his time as a member of the Denver Nuggets.
Well, I mean, obviously, I was a little young for it when the draft happened. I was about 9 years old, so I remember the hype about LeBron, you know, Melo Wade. That was really great. And he brought in a bunch, you know, he brought in some great years as a Nugget. Obviously didn't end, as well as everyone had hoped. They had one championship contender in 2009. Again, the Lakers kind of stood in their way like they usually do. But it's interesting because now it's more of a complicated legacy because how he left, we know after the player empowerment movement, people have been leaving teams and leaving them with nothing. As much as Melo left and it was a little bit of a bitter situation, at least he left in a trade that ended up getting Jamal Murray to the Denver Nuggets because that was one of the picks, the last pick that the New York Knicks sent to Denver. So it is a bit complicated as far when he's, you know, as far as he's retired. He's got a great, he has a great career. And as far as the Nuggets, I think, you know, the future was, he brought the Nuggets into like the new era of basketball. And then he was one of the foundations for, you know, getting them to this era now. But again, it's a little complicated. I'm not in like an authority to speak on it as much because I'm more of like from a Serbian perspective. I came in to root for the Nuggets with Jokic. But before that, I was aware of what Melo did and how fun they were at times. But then it didn't hurt me personally when he left. That's what I'm trying to say, because I wasn't as diehard for Nuggets than I am right now.
Oh, I understand, and thank you for being very open about that and being honest about that. And certainly Carmelo Anthony, 19 seasons in the NBA, not to mention winning 3 Olympic gold medals as well, really being one of the cornerstones of USA Olympic basketball. All right, Boya, let's get right to it. The Denver Nuggets, what a run that they had in the Western Conference Finals, sweeping the Los Angeles Lakers. And you talk about domination, you talk about depth, offense and defense, and also taking advantage of the Lakers' mistakes. What were your takeaways from Denver sweeping the Lakers to win the Western Conference Finals?
My first takeaway was they're a very serious contender, and not just because, obviously, because Jokic is really great and they're really welcome my team. The execution down the stretches, the composure was the most impressive to me because we know Lakers at home are really tricky. They haven't lost a game before this series at home. We know how throughout the history the refereeing can skew their way a little bit at some points because of the legacy and history of the Lakers and their like grandeur in the NBA association. I just after everything they were so composed and so championship ready, prepared. That was the most impressive thing. The 4 games obviously they won and it's a sweep and they were all tough games. But the fact that they pulled out all of those in different, honestly, in a little bit of a different ways from the basketball perspective, but also all 4 of them had some mental challenges that they were ready for and didn't get shaken up in those moments, and they delivered. Like, it was really, really impressive.
Indeed, it was impressive, and just from start to finish, and just that depth was magnificent, and as you said it best, Boya, definitely a team that's on the verge of destiny, and staying just with the Nuggets in this Western Conference Finals run, I want to start off with somebody that provided the depth and really came through at the right time for Denver, Bruce Brown. Bruce was unstoppable in this series against the Lakers. Give me your thoughts on Bruce's play in this series.
He made a difference, honestly, in coming off the bench. The depth we're talking about with the Nuggets is not, I mean, for a playoff team is deep, as in they have 6 really good players, which is sometimes all you need for a good playoff run, and then the rest is just to fill in some of the blanks. With Bruce, the important part was he knew what he was doing on the court. He knew what the plan was, especially when he would come in on the floor and D'Angelo Russell was on the court. They had a plan of attacking him off the bounce. He started that against Minnesota when he was slashing. Because the thing is, Nuggets this year is really interesting. They have different attributes, specific players that are role players. They have all different things they know how to do well. And Bruce's is really good penetration off the dribble, like basically north and south, like the running backs. Like, he would slash his way into the paint and take advantage of it. We've seen him like hone in his floater during the season, which was a little bit shaky at times. But when that floater hits, and then when he's really aggressive and gets into the body of the defenders and finishes, that's where he's the best. And then, you know, obviously defense leading to offense in transition as well. He's a really good finisher. And that was that Lakers were really horrible in transition during the first three games, and he took advantage of as soon as the rebound hits, if the Lakers weren't set and if the guard wasn't on him to stop him in transition, he would just attack that straight and take advantage of it. And then coupled that with some good jump shots that he would make, that was making, was really one of the perfect. He's probably been the sixth man of the playoffs for me at this point.
Rightfully so, and Bruce has definitely been doing his thing in this playoff run thus far for the Denver Nuggets and continuing to make strides for the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. And I want to talk now about KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Man, what a steal he's been for the Nuggets since arriving from the Los Angeles Lakers. Again, similar to Bruce, someone that can get you points, whether it be on the outside or the inside, whatever you need, KCP's got you. Just give me your thoughts on KCP and his play in the Western Conference Finals run.
It's, again, he's a part, you know, one of those visions of the GM, Calvin Booth, that they identified these players that really would fit well with Jokic, that were affordable for them. KCP obviously has a little bit of a chip on their shoulder since the Lakers traded him to the Wizards. And then, you know, he spent a season there, and then he got traded to the Nuggets. And he basically got traded away from a championship team. That was one of those weird things the Lakers did for whatever reason, is they traded away that team. And, again, like, they were hurt after the bubble, and so they felt like they were underachieving in that 2021 season when it was actually just the health. And they traded away a lot of the role players that made that championship team. They didn't sign Alex Caruso. So KCP coming into Denver, and especially playing against the Lakers, you could kind of feel that he had some extra juice. And again, like, he's been building up these playoffs, like, just hitting open shots, timely shots, like, attacking. He had that game three when Jokic got into foul trouble, where he had 11 or 12 points in the third quarter when everyone else wasn't hitting. He took over a stretch and you know, let the Nuggets be afloat and be in the game for Jokic to come back in the game. So again, like, one of those perfect, like, trades that Denver can make, and one of those perfect role players that you put around Jokic.
Absolutely, and KCP has provided big dividends so far in this playoff run for the Denver Nuggets. I want to talk about someone that's been a veteran and someone that provides veteran leadership for this young team, and that's Jeff Green. Jeff, again, he's a veteran, but guess what? He can still play, and he's provided big shots for the Denver Nuggets, specifically in the series against the Lakers. Give me your thoughts on Jeff and his play in the Western Conference Finals.
You nailed it with experience. That's the thing that's important to him and important with him, and that's why he's on the court, because during the season he was out of the rotation. Vlatko Chanchar was actually playing much better in that role off the bench, because they had during the season it was an idea of a switch all defense for the second unit when Jokic is not on the court, and Chanchar was doing a much better job in facilitating offense and playing really good defense. He had a really good game against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander that kind of stood out as, in the clutch, he really shut down SGA, which was unexpected, and he kind of earned some minutes. Problem is, Vlatko got hurt. Jeff came back from his own injury, and Malone kind of is going again with experience in these moments, and he's had some up-and-down playoffs. Like, I wouldn't say like he's a fully great player for them this playoffs, but again, for the Lakers, in moments, that's what you need him, this seventh player in moments, to kind of just mix in some stuff. Because what happened in the third game, he was closing the game instead of Aaron Gordon, because at the end of the game, they wanted to spread the floor as much as they could and then run Jokic and Jamal two-man pick and roll, especially it was even an inverted pick and roll with Jamal screening for Jokic. But they needed Jeff in the corner to hit a shot, to be more of a danger of a reputational better shooter than Gordon. So guess what? He actually hit a three, and they pulled away the Lakers' defense, and they had to pay attention to everyone now on the court and not just sag off of a non-shooter like Gordon. Again, Gordon, you know, he came in the fourth game and actually delivered on shooting. But in that specific game, that was the plan, and it actually worked, and he wasn't a detriment to the team when he was on the court. So that's, like, for him, that's the big plus, is he needs to be neutral on defense and contribute as much as he can, as much as he gets the opportunity, because again, he's a seventh player. You don't expect much, but you just don't want him to be a big negative when he's on the court.
Absolutely. And again, we talked about it earlier, Voya, the veteran leadership is key to such a young team. And Jeff Green, again, so far so good, making big dividends in the playoff run for the Denver Nuggets. Someone that has been paying off big dividends in this playoff run, who's just been on a tear, that's MPJ, Michael Porter Jr., making big shots, especially with his long-range game, and it was critical in the series against the Los Angeles Lakers. Give me your thoughts on MPJ and his play against the Lakers.
It's really, he's come such a long way from where we thought he was going to be because of the injuries. He's not really on minutes restriction, but he actually been mindful of expending him too much because of the back injury, because of the surgery that he had, which is incredible. At 23, 24, he had three back surgeries, and he has been able to bounce back this season in this way. And not in, you mentioned shooting, which is great, and he really has a knack for timely shots when the score is in the balance, or like when Denver is down and they need something just to keep afloat until they can get humming again. He's the one that he can kind of count on, and you expect him to make those shots because he's such a tall, deceptively tall person. Like, he's 6'10", I believe, and with that big of a jump, that good of a jump shot. For me, the more important thing in this Lakers series was what kept him on the floor in the closing minutes, even in games when he wasn't shooting as well, because his standards are like 40%+ from three. So whenever he's a 40%, that's an average or a poor game from him. But the defense and rebounding was a big deal because, again, you have LeBron and you have AD and you have Hachimura on the court, and they're, at the end, they're attacking the glass, they're putting pressure. Denver needed every rebound that they can, every defensive possession ending in a rebound. And Michael Porter was the one, coming out.
The Ghost Pepper has a reputation. So does a Ghost Pepper wing that doesn't send you into tears make any sense? Does to us. That's why Popeye's Ghost Pepper wings are the perfect balance of flavor and fire. Popeye starts with intensely craveable flavor, adds the right amount of kick to keep things interesting, not inferno-ing, and then offers them at only $5 for 6 pieces. Because in New Orleans, we like to taste our food, not cry over it. Call us crazy.
Love that chicken from Popeye's.
Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary. Additional terms apply.
Leftovers. Or the DMV.
Number 97.
Or house cleaning. Or
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Of that spot that would just grab these rebounds that are really important. He had almost 10 rebounds a game averaging against the Lakers, which that's why he's on the court, and that's what Malone was trying to teach him all these years, and that's what the team was instilling in him all these years by trusting him to come back from injuries, but also to learn on the fly how to be a great role player, because he can be a superstar talent. He's a superstar talent. The problem is development, and especially this team when you have Jokic and Murray, you need a really great role player at a wing. Kind of look like, looking at Wiggins last year, how he adapted, and he was supposed to be a number one option, how he adapted in Golden State. You would look at Gordon and MPJ kind of adapting to Denver Nuggets similar way, which is that's the most impressive part sometimes with these high lottery picks that they can check their egos and actually contribute in any way they can to win a game, regardless of the box score or the fame or the big accolades like this. They're kind of playing winning basketball right now.
Absolutely. And MPJ has really repped it up in this playoff run, and he was just automatic with the long-range shooting against the Lakers to help them win the Western Conference Finals. And, Voya, the trade deadline paid off big dividends for the Denver Nuggets when they acquired Aaron Gordon from the Orlando Magic, and it's really come into full swing in the playoff run. If you need a guy that is probably one of the best above-the-rim players in the league, someone that will dunk through two, maybe three guys just to get 2 points, Aaron Gordon is that guy. And also, his shooting has been solid this year. Give me your thoughts on Aaron and his play in the series against the Lakers.
Well, the trade deadline a couple of years ago was really big. That was when they kind of shifted the gears, and they had this young core with Gary Harris, with Jokic and Murray, And Gary was also struggling with injuries, kind of was essentially an Aaron Gordon on the guard spot. And so they needed – Paul Millsap was aging out. They needed someone to help Jokic shore up that the back line. And they identified Aaron Gordon from Orlando, again, as a really top five pick and is expected to be a franchise leader. They identified him as a guy capable of being an elite role player. And what he's doing right now is matching up defensively with, again, something that really people didn't think about when he was in Orlando is, oh, you can put him on any one of these big wings and even guard sometimes. Last year with all the injuries, all the decimated lineups, like he would actually guard from Ja Morant to Anthony Davis, to like, you know, from all over the place. And this year, luckily, because of the KCP and Bruce additions and Christian Brown as a rookie, he was more guarding like his matchup. So he had guarded Karl-Anthony Towns, took him out of the playoff series in the first round. Next round, he guarded Kevin Durant, which he averaged 30 points on horrible shooting percentages for Kevin Durant standards and made everything harder for him. And then the next series, he was guarding LeBron James mostly, and then he would take over Anthony Davis in stretches where Denver would put in a wrinkle and put Jokic on a non-shooter and then have Aaron Gordon guard Davis. And especially the most important thing for him is he's now a de facto backup center for the Nuggets because they're playing only seven guys. When Jokic is off the floor, Gordon steps into that small ball five. And that's been incredible. The shooting, it goes up and down depending on, again, he's spending a lot of energy on defense. But free throws are okay. He's been great against Minnesota and free throws, a little bit shaky with Phoenix, but picked it up back against the Lakers. And again, shooting from the three, it's more like for him, it's more rhythm. He doesn't have a bad jumper technique-wise. It's just getting in his head of if he should shoot right away or kind of hesitate. Hesitation is what kills it. Against Lakers, he came out swinging and scored 20 points. I think he had hit three or four threes, like incredible output. So, I mean, again, one of those perfect acquisitions that you identify to put around your star players to help them praise for him.
Absolutely. It is great for Aaron, and it's good to see him, of course, go from Orlando, having great seasons there, but having to take his career to the next level and land in the Mile High City, and definitely he's paying off big dividends thus far for the Denver Nuggets. And I want to talk now about Jamal Murray. And Voya, you mentioned his name earlier, and we talk about the explosion of Canadian talent entering the NBA with the likes of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Lu Dort. And, of course, you got to put Jamal Murray's name in the mix as well. And Jamal, they call him Bubble Murray. I wouldn't say Bubble Murray. I would say this was always Jamal. He just had the injuries, including 2 years ago with the Achilles tear. But Jamal is back. He's back, and he's back to being the Jamal Murray we've known and loved. Shooting, getting to the basket, playing solid defense, doing what he does best. Give me your thoughts on Jamal and his play in the series against the Lakers.
Again, I mean, he did something that no one has ever done in the conference finals. He had over 30 points per game average on 50-40-90 shooting. Again, really crazy when you think about all the players that have gone through the conference finals that no one's ever done it. Curry was, ironically, he was an 89 on the free throw line in 2017, so he was the closest one to that. And Curry obviously had more, I think, better true shooting percentage because he had more threes than free throws and stuff. The Jamal thing is really tragic because, yeah, the Bubble Murray thing happened, and you're right, like, that's Jamal Murray, but something happened before is that the year before the Bubble, they were in the playoffs, and he got really bullied on the low post on defense by Rodney Hood against the Blazers, and he really kind of took that personally. He said, you know, I don't want this to ever happen to me again, and he kind of started bulking up a little bit more, and then the pandemic break hit. Jokic lost a lot of weight and reshaped his body that way. Jamal did the other way. He gained some pounds but bulked up, and so in the bubble, really, no one could post him up anymore from the guard, from the guard position one-on-one, but he would switch on a bigger guy and would hold his own. And also what that did to him is increased his explosiveness and just the quickness of his shot, and that explosion happened. Tragically, again, he blew out his ACL a few months after, because a lot of guys, like, when you look back at that 21 season, a lot of guys got hurt coming out of the bubble. Really tragically, you have, Nuggets were the only team out of the conference finalists that made the second round from that year. So Davis, LeBron, all were hurt. Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat got swept by the Bucks. Phoenix Suns also, Phoenix Suns was the Celtics also lost to the Nets, got swept I believe as well. And Nuggets were the only one that went through it. But Jamal blew out his ACL during the season while he was picking up a lot of his numbers and increasing a lot of his numbers. And now he's kind of showing again, he's not Bobo Murray, it's Jamal Murray, just a healthy Murray and evolved Jamal. And again, like he's also had like ups and downs in the season. Again, coming back from injury, you have some problems with conditioning, with psychological issues, wanting to, it's, again, like 2 years almost out of the league, you're kind of getting back to it. But again, the team was with him. He kept at it. He had a shaky couple of games against the Suns where he tried a little too much stuff and then toned it down, became more of a point guard, more of like a, I'm going to pick my spot. And then against the Lakers, there was clearly that was the matchup for him because Jokic was dealing inside with a lot of guys and was depending on Jamal Murray to light it up, and that he did. And that was kind of, I mean, Jokic is your MVP always because he sets the table. He's the gravity force of the team, but you can't win without Jamal doing what he does. And that was the point why they were missing and why they didn't have playoff success in the last couple of years.
You're absolutely right about that. I mean, Jamal just brings a whole nother dynamic to the team. Nikola's going to do what he does best, but Jamal just brings that spice. And he's the seasoning in the duo with him and Nikola Jokic. And it's definitely great to see Jamal just continue to get back to the Jamal Murray that we've known and loved for quite a long time. I want to talk about Michael Malone. I mean, what a job that Michael has done since he's been the head coach of the Nuggets. Just give me a take on Michael and his time in Denver so far.
It's basically culture setting would be the word for him. He was really happy that the ownership was really patient, that a lot of owners. So what happened is in his third year, and that was the Nuggets 2018 season, 2017-18, they had 46 wins, and then essentially there was a playing game against them and the Wolves. And whoever won that game was going to go to be the eighth seed, play the Rockets. I think there were 60-win Rockets that year. And they lost in overtime. Jokic was great. Like, they were battling. They were really young. Jokic was 23. Jamal was 22. And they really battled it out. And and missed the playoffs, which was the ultimate goal. And a lot of teams would fire their coach at that point, try to pivot the other way. And when you think about Minnesota made it that year and basically blew up their team with Jimmy Butler and just went the other direction completely. And Nuggets kept the pace. They were like, okay, we're going to set the culture. We're going to get these guys going. The next year, they were the number two seed in the West. So a lot of players went through the team, even though there's a lot of consistency in the core guys, but there were guys that would basically, they were okay role players, but they would fall off the wayside because Malone had a certain philosophy to coaching, to playing. And he was also approached tough love to MPJ, which a lot of people didn't understand because they thought he would break MPJ and MPJ would and eventually like ask a trade or something, kind of similarly to like what Bones Highland did this year. But they kept true and they knew what they were doing, and he evolved with the team as well. Of course, any coach, like any player, is every year you with experience you evolve. And he's been out coaching every coach that they faced this season, this playoffs. And that was one of the big question marks coming into the playoffs. Again, like, will Malone have trust in certain guys? Will he know? Will he adjust on the fly? Which was one of those things that they were down in the bubble 3-1 a couple of times, and then adjustments came when they were back against the wall. And then they would do him well, but it would be a little late. So last couple of years, he would actually like adjust on the fly and do a really good job. And this year, he has the personnel to even tinker more with the defense. He's a defensive-minded coach. So I like really nothing but love for him right now. He's really done a great job, and he's kind of spicy in the press conferences and throwing shade at ESPN, throwing shade at all the national media for neglecting the Nuggets all these years. So really, like, his Q score is really high right now. It's really cool to see.
Coach Malone has done a great job with that talent that has been brought around him thus far, Voya, with Nikola and Jamal, and, of course, along with MPJ Aaron Gordon, just to name a few, definitely done a great job. And like you said, it's always important when an organization is patient with the coach. We see it in professional sports today where we don't see the patience being exercised, but so far so good. The Nuggets are breaking the mold, or have broken the mold, in terms of staying with Michael Malone through the thick and thin. It's great to see him thus far get deeper in the playoff run. I want to talk now about Nuggets home games at the Ball Center. And from watching Nuggets games, it seems that they've been very electric, especially in this playoff run. How would you describe Nuggets home games at the Ball Center?
I mean, great all year, honestly. Last two years were kind of the weird limbo years, where because of the injuries to both Jamal and MPJ, they were just a team, like an average team. This year, they emphasized home court. They wanted home court in the West. They wanted to make the Ball Arena really, like, stick out, and people think about it when they come there. Incorporate the altitude there. Everyone talks about with Denver, and the fact that, like, they really want to run, and especially when they're home. And you know, usually like that like cliche of like role players play better at home. That, again, like all the other role players really show up at the Ball Arena. But yeah, I mean, it's really great. The fans have showed up. Like that was the issue like a few years before. You would have these Lakers would come in and basically have more fans than the Nuggets in the regular season when they would show up. Celtics last year. You have Golden State as well. Like these transplants that live in Denver would show up in the Ball Arena and make it an away game. And this year, Nuggets were like took pride in that and really didn't let them let them get comfortable in the arena. Even though there were some Laker fans in the arena, Nuggets fans were louder. Obviously, they had more to be louder about, but still, they were really like more energetic. And the Nuggets feed off of that. Again, they start running. The few transition buckets happen, some threes fall, and the arena just blows up. Like it's really something. Again, like it's really cool to see the fan base that's been starving for success, that they can see that now in person.
Absolutely. And I just want to stay with home games in Denver. The city of Denver sits 5,280 feet above sea level. Is the elevation in terms of opponents adjusting to playing the Nuggets at home?
It is a lot of myth building, as well as actual fact, because of just by how biology works. And Nuggets live there. Their blood cells develop. They adapted to the lower oxygen levels. In their bodies, you have all these cells that form to actually flow oxygen more efficiently. That's all true. And then again, like the other teams come in. I would say during the regular season, maybe like in this case, because Lakers didn't really have a shot in getting to game 6 and 7. So that wasn't as huge of a factor. So they came in right after to Denver, and they had like every other day. I think during the season is even probably more, when you have to fly in the day before and then play right the next night, because of the dense schedule, the regular season with playoffs. I mean, Phoenix went to Denver and they had 3 or 4 days to get adjusted, before their series started. So like, Lakers as well were there a few days before. So I think they're professional athletes. They probably adjust better than regular people. But I think it still hits them as well as anyone else. But again, that's what it is. I mean, everyone signs up. The fact is, Nuggets never made it to the NBA Finals. So if it was that big of an advantage, like you would have seen more teams actually be more successful if the home court is that big of a deal. And people, people have won in Denver, before this season. So again, it's probably the mix, a little bit of mix of both. Like, you want it to be a myth from the Nuggets side, so people start thinking, oh, am I going to start hyperventilating? I'm going to start losing oxygen. Like, and then you start thinking about it and you don't focus on the game. So that's part of it. You want to emphasize like, oh, you're gonna be winded.
The ghost pepper has a reputation. So does a ghost pepper wing that doesn't send you into tears make any sense? It does to us. That's why Popeye's ghost pepper wings are the perfect balance of flavor and fire. Popeye starts with intensely craveable flavor, adds the right amount of kick to keep things interesting, not inferno-ing, and then offers them at only $5 for 6 pieces. Because in New Orleans, we like to taste our food, not cry over it. Call us crazy.
Love that chicken from Popeye's. Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary. Additional terms apply.
Leftovers. Or. The DMV.
Number
97. Or. House cleaning. Or.
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus
terms and conditions apply. See website for details. When you get up there, even if you don't, maybe that psychological factor also affects it. So, but there is also obviously like factual, biological reasons that, that altitude affects the body. So it's a bit both. I really don't say that I can say that's the deciding factor for the Lakers' loss.
All right, solid. And again, thank you so much for explaining that and just being detailed about that. I truly appreciate that. And, you know, speaking of appreciation, the Denver Nuggets, Nuggets fans, the NBA, just basketball fans around the world are appreciating the talents of Nikola Jokic. And we're going to talk more about Nikola's playoff run in just one moment. I want to start off with NBA draft. Two-part question, Voya. Where were you when you found out that Nikola Jokic was drafted by the Denver Nuggets? And the second question was, what was your reaction?
Well, I was probably, I mean, I was in Serbia at that point because that was summer of 2014. I finished my freshman year in University of Nebraska here. So I came, it was obviously, I think that draft was interesting, but it was one of those like, okay, he got drafted to Nuggets. Really cool to have Nurkic. He's going to, you know, we'll see how it goes. But we knew he wasn't going to go immediately. So we were like, okay, when he goes, we'll see. Because second round picks, again, we know how it works. We know how it works with Euro players. They sometimes don't even get drafted. There were so many. I mean, there, you go through this through the last, like, 10, 15 years. There's a lot of Serbian players that are talented that were drafted in the second round but never went across to the NBA. There were a few that came in for a little bit and then came back to the EuroLeague. So you were like, okay, cool, he got drafted. And even the first round picks, there's one of the centers that got drafted by San Antonio in the first round. He never came across in the NBA, and he's a year old. He's almost 30 now. So, and he's really good, but he never chose to go. So you never know what a player wants to do or what the best choice for them is. You just kind of wait and see what happens. But the Nuggets were like, okay, this destination, we knew there was a lot of Europeans in the front offices. Again, they had some European players funneling through the Nuggets. There was Jan Vesely, there was Joffrey Laverne, which ended up being a story recently that because of how they handled Joffrey and they were really good to him, he had the same manager as Nikola, so they trusted the Nuggets the next year to actually get Nikola, probably even earlier than anyone expected, to the NBA. So it's really, again, it's really interesting, but it wasn't like, you know, it's not, you don't, at that point, you don't pop champagne for someone getting drafted in the second round. No, you just kind of wait and see what happens. And then, but whoever goes over, all of us from Serbia follow each of the players. Like, we check in on what teams they play on, if they played any minutes. Oh, this guy's starting playing a little more. I'm going to watch some games, see what they do. And so that's kind of how how it works, at least for me. Coming from Serbia and following the NBA.
All right, and then again, it took him a couple of years to get settled in the United States, but man, by year three, he really made some noise, and he made everybody pay attention to him just with not just his playmaking ability, but just how fluid he is. He has great footwork, and also his passing ability is phenomenal. What were some of the skill sets that you noticed in terms of his footwork and his playmaking ability and his ability to pass the ball so effortlessly?
We watched him in Serbia. He played, obviously played really in a bit. They came into the finals of a domestic league against Red Star. That was a big team. And he had actually a game winner. They drew up for him to shoot. And he was the MVP of that domestic league. It's called the Adriatic League over there. And so he really improved since he got drafted. So that year when he stayed in Serbia, he really, like, improved. And that, the thing is, like, the fluidity is off the charts. The touch is off the charts. The footwork. The thing is, a lot like how we are trained in Serbia, how the people go and play basketball and go through these clubs at a young age, you get taught no matter what position you're supposed to play because you're young. You never know how tall you're going to be. They teach you everything. And so because you never know, like, so if you stop at six, if you're 6 foot, you know, 6 foot one in seventh grade, you here probably in America, maybe they force you to play center so you can win some games. At least like when it's really, really good coach back home, which one of my coaches was, and I think he had really good coaches as well, is you don't, if you're 6'1 in seventh grade, you don't get forced to play center and learn only center things. You learn how to dribble, you learn how to shoot, you learn how to watch the game, study the game. And so he just has everything, every one of those skills at like a god level right now. And always, like, you know, he's had genetically just that hand-eye coordination, the touch in his hands. And then you incorporate a lot of sports that you play around in Serbia. You play soccer, like, you know, in your off time. You in the pool, you're water polo, there's volleyball. So like all these things kind of incorporate in his growing up and then manifest itself in some of these weird shots, the actual really good touch, and then just, you know, just pure talent as it is. But then processing it is something that he was taught like from an early age because he was getting coached by really, really good coaches. And then it manifested itself in this way. But again, like he was off the charts, but the skill sets that he has is something that they emphasize in Serbia as something that everyone should have. It's just that he's really like on a Hall of Fame top 15, you know, player ever level. So that, you know, he's on this scale. So, which is really awesome to see.
That's awesome that they teach the fundamentals of the game of basketball at an early age. As you were saying, Voya, just if a kid is 6'1 and he's in the seventh grade, they don't force him to play another position. They keep him there and they teach them the fundamentals in terms of the dribbling and the ball handling and defense. It's amazing how they stay with them and don't let them go too fast. That's amazing. Thank you for going into detail about that. And before we mentioned about the altitude of the city of Denver, I want to ask you about Nikola's homeland as well as your homeland of Serbia. Was there an adjustment that Nikola had to make in terms of adjusting to the altitude of Denver and coming from Serbia, or was it no problem at all for him?
Well, I mean, again, I don't know him personally, so I can't say that I know for fact what happened, you know, if yes or no. But I can educate a guess that yes, because where he's from, it's really like more like Nebraska than it is like Colorado. So he didn't live on an altitude. So coming out, I know a person that went to college like in the 90s from Serbia into Colorado, and he said basically like, you know, his like biology had to change and his blood had to, basically the blood cells had to change to incorporate the, you know, the oxygen transportation in his body. So I believe that he had to adjust as well as anyone that starts living there. And they're professionals. They're like paid to be in physical shape. But I believe coming in from a flat area to 5,000 feet, like he probably had to adjust a few months or however it takes.
All right, and I want to talk now just about Nikola and his great run that he has had so far in the playoffs. The two-time league MVP and playing like it and just hitting his prime, at least in my opinion, he's just hitting his prime. And, man, he was automatic in the series against Minnesota, automatic in the series against Phoenix, and he was just a force to be reckoned with in the Western Conference Finals against the Los Angeles Lakers. Give me your thoughts on Nikola and his play in the series against Los Angeles.
Against LA, he was a really like the foundation of basically setting the table and a foundation of this team in these like little ways. Besides just obviously the shot making is incredible with him. That's something that people don't realize sometimes, that he's really, the stuff that looks kind of like an accident when he shoots is that's just him. And he has that touch and that unorthodox ability of making shots.
the thing for me that was the most impressive and what is his foundation of his good play, what kind of locks him, is that he's really well conditioned at this point. And that's something, again, because you look at him and he's not chiseled, you think like, oh, he's not going to be physically compete with Anthony Davis, LeBron James. The fact that he is one of the most like physically prepared, cardio at least prepared players in the league, he was top 10 in miles ran per game in the playoffs, and all the other guys were guards. The fact against the Lakers, how he set the table for getting easy shots for the Nuggets was pushing the pace in transition after defensive rebounds. To watch that game four after they were down 15, he comes out in the third quarter, really steps it up, gets aggressive on defense, bodies Anthony Davis, and then pushes the pace as soon as he gets the rebound, as soon as they, even when they were making shots, they would try to get the Lakers on the back heel and get them exhausted. He has inside game, how he's bodying people, how he's basically grinding them to the ground, like it happened in all of these series. Like, he was the one that was just the metronome. Just, he kept on ticking, and that, you know, averaging a triple-double is just, it's not unheard of. It's just incredible. After all the staff-adding accusations this year, just average a triple-double in the playoffs, what it matters is really something else, honestly.
Yeah, definitely it is something else. And I always say Nikola Jokic may be a center, but he's a point center because just of his height and, you know, his weight. But most importantly, he just moves. He's so efficient just with his footwork and how he handles the ball. So, yeah, he is a center, but I call him a point center respectfully. And Nikola has definitely had a great run so far, especially these last several years, including becoming a two-time league MVP and putting Denver in a great position with opportunity to win their first NBA championship. I want to stay just with Nikola for a moment. You mentioned about his conditioning. I have to ask a lighthearted question, Voya. Is the food really that good in Serbia for him to get himself in shape and the commitment and the discipline in order to be on top of his game and to take his game to the next level?
Food is great in Serbia. It's really strong. It's really awesome. But I mean, commitment, honestly, like anyone in any country, from any country, to be at that level of basketball, you kind of have to have that professionalism and dedication to. The thing is, all these players are great, and that the point is, when it gets tough, when it gets like physically exhausting, like it does, the concentration, the focus, mental focus, that focus to make shots, to be like precise with your passes, to think clearly on the court, it all comes from being in great shape. And what that happened to him, again, he opened up a lot of things, because 2019 he came in really in probably the worst shape of his career. He was really like, he was huge, but again, he's so good that he had like three game winners in the first 15 games, even like that. But then during the season, eventually started wearing down some of the guys that he would have off games because he wouldn't be able to keep up the level of play. Like, he would, you know, basically be like an out of shape player. So what he did is he turned a new leaf. Like, talked to the strength and conditioning coach. Basically, they're choosing him what to eat, how to like have, you know, meal plans, workout plans, just a routine that makes him comfortable. And he was really crazy during the 2020 pandemic break. He really lost a lot of weight. He got a little bit slimmer. Now he brought it back up, but like with some muscle level, because with him as a center, and he's not an athletic jumper, so he needs to be a little bit heavier to basically use the heaviness to take away the athleticism of other players to kind of bang down low. And now they found the optimum level when he's in cardio shape, but also very strong. So he can be moved off his back heel, and he can also move other players. And it's incredible. I mean, it's awesome. Like, again, like, it's really hard to resist some of the food that we have in Serbia. But there's higher goals. Like, there's going to be time for him to indulge himself in really good food when he's done playing. So now clearly he set his goal to win a title and to play as best as he can for his teammates. So really, like, a really impressive run for him.
Absolutely. And like I said before, discipline and consistency can pay off big dividends. In the short term, it's not going to be always be the best, but in the long term, it's definitely going to pay off. And certainly Nikola Jokic understands the bigger picture, and he sees the long-term aspects, but hopefully the Denver Nuggets can capture their first NBA championship. And I want to talk now just about not just Nikola's homeland, but your homeland, Voja, of Serbia. And you touched briefly talking about just how Serbian basketball, specifically how basketball works in Serbia, where they, if a kid is at a certain height, they won't jump that kid and make them play another position. They remain at that position, at the same token, teaching the fundamentals, such as ball handling and also defense, rebounding, and shooting. I want to ask about the Serbian Olympic basketball program. In the United States, we saw it explode in 1992 with the Dream Team, and then we've seen other players make commitments to USA Olympic basketball, such as Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, rest in peace, the Black Mamba, Kobe Bryant, just to name a few. So we've seen USA basketball really step up to the forefront. What is the Serbian Olympic basketball program like? Is it similar to what you described earlier in terms of teaching fundamentals, or is it more of a detailed process?
Well, it's the thing is the history is more like, you know, with America, 92 was the big boom because the professional players, NBA players, started going to the Olympics. Before that, you had a lot of college players, and it's not as the national team is really big, and that's like the as a basketball nation, that's really huge. European championships, World Cups, Olympics, like all those competitions. And that's been going on. We've had medals like in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s as well. And in 2002 in the World Cup was the last gold medal for technically Yugoslavia, but it was mostly Serbian and Montenegro players after the breakup of Yugoslavia. But that was the gold medal. Then we've had like silver medals in 2016 in Rio. We had the 2017 Euros of silver. So that's like a big emphasis for just the pride of the country. But it's not like an Olympic program. It's a basketball program around the country that is just the infrastructure of club competitions that professional coaches are coaching from young age, and then you have these like very strong clubs that kind of cherry pick some talented players that then they've developed further and further. And so you also have these like under certain age national teams. You have like the under 18 team, under 16 national team, and you have all these pockets of European championship for under 17 guys, or like a World Cup for under 19. And so every country kind of does that, but like we're really there's pride in winning even like the younger competitions for Serbia, because again, it's like a really big basketball country with 100-year-old basketball history. So it's 90s was a for America. We've already had gold medals in Olympics before that, and World Cups as Yugoslavia in the 89, I think 90, 91. So yeah, that's kind of the shortest I can do.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you again for answering that question. And you mentioned about Serbia being a part of the former Yugoslavia, and I want to get into now just about the sport of basketball. And you mentioned about all of the things that it's done for Serbia, just in terms of the way they prepare the current players and the next generation. Sports has always been a healer. Sports has always been a unifier, whether it be unifying neighborhoods, unifying nations, countries, races, religions, things of that nature. We saw the brutal devastation of the Yugoslavian Civil War, and we saw the split where no more Yugoslavia. Now you have Serbia and Montenegro. Also, you have Slovenia and Croatia as a part of the new independent nations that once made up the former Yugoslavia. I want to ask you, how has basketball changed things in Serbia, just in terms of being a unifier and also giving people something to look forward to?
I mean, it's a big, obviously, as you said, sports is a healer and a unifier. It was a big deal. 95 European Championship is still one of the the most revered and most respected and loved gold medal that, Serbia has ever gotten, because it was right after the whole thing, and we were Serbia was sanctioned and they couldn't participate in a few years for any of those competitions. And 95 was the first competition coming out of that whole situation, and we you know, that winning the gold was like a really big thing and really big unifier. Then they kept going again. They that generation won a bunch of things, and it culminated with 2002 World Cup in Indianapolis, when Vlada Divac and Peđa Stanković and Dan Bodiroga were playing for that team. So it's again, as I said before, it's a big deal. As a basketball, it's a really big deal for the country. I mean, any sport, honestly, like whatever, when the Olympics roll up, when all the competitions roll up, whenever someone is successful, it's really like a big support. Like, you know, when someone breaks through, we had like, we've never had Taekwondo gold medals, and we had a lady that won the Olympics and won some gold and silvers, and any medal she would win, any competition she would be on, she would get the support from our fans. Like, it's really just a sports country as well.
Awesome. And again, thank you so much for just giving us more details about that, and definitely the history of basketball with Yugoslavia. As you mentioned, some of those names with Vlade Divac and Peja Stojakovic. Later on, after the split happening in Serbia, emerging, as you said, as a sports nation and having Nikola Jokic, who was your fellow countryman, giving Serbia a big name. And you heard it from him. He is Voja Medic. He is the co-host of the Nugget Serbia podcast. Voja, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody about the Nugget Serbia podcast.
Yeah, so Nugget Serbia is a podcast that it's a separate channel on its own on YouTube. And it's in Serbian for our fans that kind of want to get a podcast that can listen to you about the Nuggets. You know, we do basketball analysis, we have some guests, we have fun. And then Serbian Corner is on DMVR Sports, and that's done. I'm currently like sometimes, you know, partial co-host there and a guest. Miroslav Chuk is doing that on DMVR Sports, and that's an English language, and he's also again from Serbia, and he has guests. And again, about talking about the Nuggets from a Serbian perspective, and then DMVR as its own network is covering all the sports in Denver. So that DNVR, just those letters, sports YouTube channel, and for us it's Nuggets Serbia, just like that. But again, if someone from Serbia is listening, they can listen to that in Serbian. So yeah, that's kind of what the gist of it is for that.
Awesome. A couple of more questions before I let you go, sir. First question is this. The capital of Serbia is Belgrade, and Nikola Jokic is from the town of Sombor. Can you explain the differences between those two cities?
Belgrade is the biggest city in the country. I don't know what the sense is now. Like, it can veer between, like, you know, 1.5-2 million people, depending on the, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, the central hub of Serbia. Sombor is really north. I think it's like three and a half hours away from Belgrade. It's more of a really, really nice, smaller town, agricultural area. Again, north of Serbia, like really close to Hungary. And the difference is just like, again, Belgrade is really huge. It's like a city. And Sombor is a really nice small town. As I compared that North Serbia to like the Midwest in America, so that would be like a smaller town in a Midwest town where it's like everyone knows each other. And I actually never been, because I don't have family there, so it wasn't any, there was no, again, reason for me to be there. But again, it's a really small town, really nice, like really mellow. Again, DMVR Sports did a documentary, DMVR Nuggets did a documentary about Serbia. They went to Sombor, so they have some vlogs from there as well, so for people that want to check it out. It's really a nice town. Again, it's really mellow and chill, and that's why he likes going there over summers, because he can just be in his home and everyone knows him, so they don't freak out when they see him. It's kind of like, oh, that's Nikola. We were going to let him be. Like, he came for a vic, you know, he came to rest here. So that's why it's different. Belgrade is just, you know, huge clubs, museums, like, you know, again, big restaurants, a lot of people, a lot of, you know, a lot of beehive, L.A. type, New York type atmosphere. So that's kind of the difference.
Belgrade and Sombor, check them out, because those are some, as what Voya was saying, very different, very unique, but they bring something different to the table in Serbia. And we talked briefly about the food. And Voya, I would like for you to go more into detail about some of the great cuisine that Serbia has to offer. You mentioned that the food is delicious there, and it's very flavorful. So what are some of the dishes that are iconic with Serbia, and what are the ingredients in them?
Oh, that's tough. That's right, because there's a lot of, like, mixtures of also from other cultures that we adopted over the years because of just how the region is mixed up. So you have the really, like, the barbecue is, like, a really big deal, just like regular, you know, minced meat. Like, you have the, you know, the grilled chickens, the different, like, again, mixed meat sausages, all that. The big things are also rotisserie pig, rotisserie lamb, that kind of stuff. Like, you would set it up for some holidays, or, like, especially if you have a house, like, you can rotisserie a pig all day, and that would be, like, a big thing. Then you have all these, like, the north part of Serbia where Jokic is from. You have these, like, stew type meals where you have venison stews, rabbit stews, fish stew. Then you have a lot of different pastries that are, you know, burek, that are called, like, pitas, and you know, they're kind of like phyllo dough pastries. So, like, it's just really an interesting conglomeration of all different foods and different flavors, and some foods even, you know, match up. Like, then, you know, you have from other countries, you will bring a food, but then Serbia would put a spin on it with some maybe ingredients from home, or like more spices or less spices, you know, stuff like that. So it's really, again, like, it's one of those you can't miss. You go there, it's kind of like a part of the culture. Like, you sit at a restaurant, and it's, I mean, in America, you kind of, the workers depend on turnover. So it's a lot of, like, okay, you eat your food, you finish up, you get the check, you leave. In Serbia, it's, you sit there and you enjoy it. You take your time. Like, no one like forces you. No one suggests you to leave because they need a table for someone else. It's like, you can sit there for hours if you wanted to and just order more and more throughout the night, throughout the day. So it's like a big, like, you know, a social type of experience, as well as just gastronomical.
Wow. I love it. I love that they're being polite. And I was reading something about Serbia being known for its hospitality and always being very gracious. And certainly that's something I'm glad that you mentioned, that, you know, giving people the opportunity to enjoy the meal, and no one not being abrupt and just telling them to leave and things of that nature. There was an article that I read, it related to Nikola Jokic, and it talked about a specific dish, and you could correct me if I'm mispronouncing it. I believe it's pronounced Sepapi. It starts with the C. If so, can you explain to the listeners the dish is all about?
It's Cevapi. So it's like, yeah, so it's Cevapi, I think. So that's basically that's part of the barbecue that I was talking about. So they look like sausage links, but they're not really like a breakfast sausage. Like, they're more quality meat that you can mix meat with some other ingredients and some spices, and those are part of the barbecue course that you would get. Like, cevapi, pjeskavice is like a burger, but again, they're like made more rich, and I couldn't really compare it here. Like, I've only had similar barbecue in like West Nebraska, because they have like their own beef there, so like they made it really, you know, really quality and dense. So like, that's the way they make it on coal as well, like barbecue on coal, that kind of takes its own charm as well. So I believe that's what you read. But Jokic's favorite, I believe, is the fish stew that I mentioned, because that's, his town is really known for, that area is really known for really good fish stew making.
There we go. We have it now. So it's cevapi, which is one of the national dishes of Serbia. And like you said, Jokic loves his fish stew. And thank you again, Voya, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Tell everybody once again where they can find you on social media, as well as the Serbian Corner podcast. Also, the show that you do on the DNVR Sports YouTube channel, any websites, let the listeners know that as well.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure. Again, I'm at on Twitter at Vojamedic, M-E-D-I-C. The Nuggets Serbia pod, Nuggets Serbia on YouTube. Again, just Nuggets, S-R-B-I-J-A. The Serbian Corner is on DNVR Nuggets. That's, again, I think weekends usually for that specific show. It's in English for people that like the Nuggets. They want to listen to about the Nuggets. Yeah, and that's it. That's pretty much everywhere you can find me and find our shows.
You heard it from him. He is Vojamedic, giving us the 411 on the current playoff run with the Denver Nuggets. Of course, talking about one of Serbia's favorite sons, Nikola Jokic, and his homeland, Serbia. Voja, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Yeah, appreciate the invite. Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll be back with more right after this.
Reeves holding. James comes out of the pack. James on the drive. Goes inside. Stop. Shot block. Gets it back. It's over. It's over. Denver makes history. The Nuggets are going to the NBA Finals for the first time in franchise history. What a crushing finish for the Lakers as the Denver Nuggets sit atop the West. Here in 2023, they're the new kings of the West.
Here to accept the Oscar Robertson Western Conference Champions Trophy on behalf of the Denver Nuggets, head coach Michael Malone.
Hell yeah, coach! Hell yeah, coach!
Well, first off, you have to give a lot of credit and respect to the Lakers, Darvin Ham, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. They gave the hell of a challenge today, but the guys behind me, they believe since training camp, they believe coming into tonight. We have a special group, and as you've heard all series long, Lisa, we're not satisfied. Love this group. Let's go, Nugget Nation! I think for me, the most satisfying part about the journey is who I'm on the journey with. I have a tremendous coaching staff. I have a tremendous front office. Great ownership. And the 17 players behind me who came to work every day check their egos at the door for something much bigger than themselves. We have great players, we have tremendous depth, and we have a lot of character on this team, and I love each and every one of our players.
The Western Conference Finals Most Valuable Player Trophy is aptly named after one of the greatest guards in NBA history, Irvin Magic Johnson. The 2023 Irvin Magic Johnson Western Conference Finals Most Valuable Player Award goes to Nikola Jokic.
For me, to be honest, nothing. So this trophy is supposed to go to my teammates and coaches. They put me in a situation that I'm just first among the equals, and I'm just happy that we are collectively getting wins and getting to make something. I mean, probably to say hello to my parents, my bad. I mean, it's a collective effort, for real. It's from the Sparky, Gino, who is our equipment manager, to family Kroenke. I think that it's a one collective effort that we are growing as a team, as a franchise. I think it's a really nice to be a Nuggets fan.
Leftovers. Or.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba.
The DMV.
Number 97.
Or.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba.
House cleaning. Or.
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Ghost Pepper has a reputation. So does a Ghost Pepper wing that doesn't send you into tears make any sense? Does to us. That's why Popeye's Ghost Pepper wings are the perfect balance of flavor and fire. Popeye starts with intensely craveable flavor, adds the right amount of kick to keep things interesting, not inferno-ing, and then offers them at only $5 for 6 pieces. Because in New Orleans, we like to taste our food, not cry over it. Call us crazy.
Love that chicken from Popeye's.
Limited time at participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary. Additional terms apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Voya Medic, co-host of the Nugget Serbia podcast, which airs exclusively on YouTube and serves as an occasional contributor for the Serbian Corner podcast, which is aired exclusively on the DNVR Sports YouTube channel. Once again, a big special thank you to Voya for being on the program. And until next time, everybody, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.